WABL1480.com with the Rovers. It is now 8:25, 71 degrees, a wind advisory, and a flash flood watch in effect. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome on Community Contact this morning Baldwin County's Interim Planning Director, Matthew Brown. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. The fourth Thursday of the month is reserved for a Baldwin County official. It might be EMA, it might be a commissioner, and we're thrilled to have you with the planning department because there's so much growth going on around Fairhope and our jurisdiction that we don't have as much control as perhaps some residents wish we did. So we're glad to have you to talk about that. I guess first just give us an overview of what the Baldwin County Planning Commission is responsible for, what they do, when they meet.
Sure, absolutely. We generally meet on the first Thursday of every month. That's the Baldwin County Planning and Zoning Commission. And kind of to maybe back up from there, Baldwin County is very unique in terms of planning in the county. In a lot of areas, and we can think right across the state line in Florida, the whole entire state is essentially zoned. And so there's planning and zoning throughout the entire state. In Alabama, there's very few counties that actually have implemented planning and zoning. Baldwin County is one of just two or three. And what's unique about zoning specifically in Baldwin County is that it is a citizen-led process. And there's something kind of neat about that. But there's also sometimes some expectations for folks who come out of areas where they're accustomed to zoning being everywhere. They are sometimes caught off guard when they find that, wow, the neighborhood down the street is unzoned. So if you look at a county map, and you can go on the Baldwin County Commission website, that's baldwincountyal.gov, and in our planning and zoning department, you can pull up our planning district map for the county. And you'll notice that there's about 60% of the county that is completely unzoned. And interestingly enough, a large portion of that is in the Fairhope area.
And so when you say it's the choice of the citizen, it takes a group of residents to get together and petition for a referendum for zoning. Is that correct?
That's right. So the way I like to describe zoning is, you know, we can all remember that time when we played pickup sports in our backyard with the kids in our neighborhood. And there was kind of this community understanding of the rules of how we played the game. And then you have this kind of new kid who moves into town and comes and says, hey, no, y'all aren't playing it right. Here's the real rules. Well, that's kind of the way a zone versus an unzoned area works. We encounter this quite often here in the planning department. Folks live in an unzoned area, and they feel like there's this community understanding of it's going to be rural and, you know, there's not going to be development here and we want it to be this quiet, peaceful place. But there's unfortunately no established rules to kind of protect that environment. And kind of going back to the illustration of maybe pickup sports in a neighborhood, a way that the neighborhood kids could resolve that in that sense would be to form a league. And essentially that's what someone's doing when they put zoning in their area. They're formalizing some rules that apply to their area. Now, sometimes those rules everybody doesn't love when the time comes that they're actually applied. You might have one that means that you can't put a secondary shed right up against your neighbor's property, that there are some setbacks that apply. But that the good thing about that rule applies to you. It also applies to your neighbor. And then those kind of roll out from the development perspective. So kind of back to your question about how those rules get put in place, if someone does want zoning, the way that process works is citizens from an area will communicate to the county commission, or they can send that communication initially to the planning department if they'd like, and basically request zoning in that area. And then we'll ask them to propose a boundary, and then we'll kind of look at that boundary with them, and there's some legal steps that we have to go through to set up that boundary. And then that petition is essentially brought to the commission, and the commission chooses to accept that boundary at that point. And then from there, the probate judge provides a number of registered voters within that boundary. And then this... Go ahead.
No, please go ahead. Excuse me.
Okay. And then if the citizens need to get signatures for 10% of those registered voters and bring those back to the commission, they have a set time to do that. I believe off the top of my head it's 90 days to collect those signatures. And then they bring those back to the commission. Those are verified. And if they've met that threshold, then the commission requests the probate judge to go ahead and schedule an election within the district for just registered voters within the district within the next 90 days. And then it's a simple yes, come under the zoning jurisdiction of Baldwin County, or no, don't come under the zoning jurisdiction. And we don't take a position on that as a department. That's something that we leave to the citizens of whether or not they want to come underneath that zoning jurisdiction.
That was an excellent explanation and analogy. So we have a situation here, and forgive me, I don't have it in front of me. I think it's the new, is it District 17 that was recently voted upon here in the Fairhope area, and now there's a pushback and some folks are fighting that. Am I correct? Refresh our memories on that.
Sure, that's District 19.
19.
In that case, there was an election on December 29th, and there was a very strong majority voting to bring that district within the planning jurisdiction of Baldwin County. And naturally, there's always some people who are for and against a measure like this. So there are, in this case, some folks who weren't thrilled about this change.
How are residents in an area proposed for zoning notified of the referendum to begin with? If it only takes 10% of a petition signature, then the other 90%, how are they notified of the election or the vote?
That is a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So after, we actually have this taking place in District 11, a new District 11 proposed near Magnolia Springs right now. So we're right at this point in that process. The commission just had an agenda item requesting the judge of probate to schedule an election within the next 90 days. And that has gone to the judge of probate, and that should be advertising. I think it actually started advertising yesterday. I don't have the exact date in front of me right now. I hate to say it wrong in the air. But what we will do is we have a voter list that the judge of probate gives us for every registered voter in that new proposed district, and we will send each one a letter in the mail letting them know the date of the election, the voting location, the times that they can vote, and then also encouraging them to reach out to us if they have any questions.
Okay, very good.
The same thing we did in District 19.
Okay, all right. So what happens... Did the District 19, was there some official appeal filed or not?
Well, there is some ongoing legal issues with that I'm not in a position to comment on. But after, from our perspective, that process has not stopped. So after the election took place, the statute has us establish an advisory committee with five registered voters from within the district. So the commission appointed those individuals about a month ago, and we actually had our first meeting this past Friday. It was a great meeting. Those meetings are public. They're open to the public if people want to participate. But essentially, that advisory committee will assist the planning staff in developing the ordinances, the zoning ordinance that will apply to that District 19. And I like to tell people the ordinance has two parts. It has a text part, which is kind of the text rules, and then it has a map. And the map is, we've all seen these color-coded maps with all the different zoning designations. So essentially, we'll be developing those two things. And because Baldwin County already has zoning, for the text portion of it, we start with the county's text, existing text, and then we have some special provisions that can allow them to make some tweaks for their specific district if they'd like.
Okay. We're speaking with Matthew Brown, Interim Planning Director for Baldwin County here at WABF. It is 835 and 71 degrees. Does the designation of the Barnwell Landmark District prevent zoning?
No, not that I'm aware. I know that that's a new district. We don't have... a lot of direct interaction with those, but as far as I'm aware, it doesn't present it if folks want to still pursue something along those lines.
Okay. We're seeing a lot of developments affecting the city of Fairhope, but just outside of our city limits. Apartment complex on Twin Beach Road, over 500 residential homes in what's called Fairhope Falls, out 104 around Langford Road. Apparently not one, but two Publix grocery stores, one on Greeno at Battles, the other, I believe, at 104 and 181. A lot of residents are frustrated. Stop the growth. It's too much growth. But it's my understanding that when it's outside of a planning jurisdiction for a municipality, there's not a lot that that municipality can do. In other words, they can tell you how to build it to make sure it meets codes, but they can't tell you what to build. Is that an accurate way to simplify the situation?
Sure. I think that that is a good synopsis there. So basically, within the municipal limits, they have their own municipal zoning. So then once you're outside the corporate limits of a city, you're either in a zoned area or an unzoned area within the county. And going, depending on whether or not citizens have sought zoning based on the process we described earlier. So now if you're in a unzoned area, other than the building codes, there are very little rules that apply to the specific use that you can use for that property. There are subdivision regulations that apply in unzoned areas, but we just make sure the developer is following those basic rules. They're kind of like, hey, here's the standard that you have to meet to form one of these larger subdivisions. There's not a lot of subjective power on the part of the community to impact that, especially in an unzoned area. Going back to the illustration of kind of the pickup sports, this is where the Planning Commission and the Planning Department, and we have Boards of Adjustment, come in. I like to think of us as like the referees in the process. You know, when we watch a sports game, sometimes we hate the referees, sometimes we love the referees, but we all know that the referees are necessary because they're the ones who try to keep things balanced. And essentially, that's what zoning does. There are going to be times where you're like, ah, man, I did not like that call. But that referee is also checking the neighbor to make sure they're calling, they're throwing the yellow flag if necessary. If the neighbor does something wrong with their property as well.
Okay, let's see. Let me look at my questions here. I believe we've covered zoning versus non-zoning. Okay, zoning versus non-zoning. Maybe we should address that again. You were saying that the actual residents that voted for the zoning can have a say in what that might entail. You've got the text, which is basic, and then the map, which can have some variables?
So the map really, to develop the map, we look at what the existing uses are right now. And we look at the lot sizes, the densities, and that kind of establishes what's in place right now. We don't, for the map, we try to be careful. It's not really intended to set future use. It's more so set intended to say, here's what's in existence right now. On the tech side, there are some opportunities for each district to look at some local provisions. And we have to be careful not to go too crazy with that, otherwise it'll be hard to follow the zoning ordinance. But I'll give you an example. In the Fort Morgan area, there's some prohibitions against zoning to higher intensity or density, so you can't go from for instance, a residential zoning to a business zoning in high hazard flood areas or coastal flood areas. So if those areas are designated by FEMA as being a high hazard flood area, then they can't be increased in density. And that's a local provision that the people of District 25 down in Fort Morgan, that's important to them, and that really applies to their area. We wouldn't want to apply that across the whole county because it might not be needed in other parts of the county.
Okay, all right. What would you like to mention that I haven't thought to ask about zoning and planning in the county and how it can affect, you know, us locally?
Well, I think that we just want to reemphasize that we're here to help folks as best we can, that we are, again, kind of the referees in the process. We're not here to stop what anybody's doing or to kind of push any specific person's project along. We're here to just try to make sure everybody's following the rules. And in some ways, the power is in the hands of the citizens. We totally appreciate the fact, and I could say that probably a number of our staff members in the planning and zoning departments live in unzoned areas because they want to live in an area where there aren't rules. But some of us live in areas that are zoned, like myself, because I do want to know that my neighbor can't put in a pig farm next door and things like that. So we understand that Baldwin County is very diverse. Many different kind of interests and priorities among the citizenship, and we just want to allow citizens to be empowered and know that they are empowered to pursue zoning in their area if they want. And if they don't want it in their area, it's not something that they have to have.
Okay. Matthew, thank you. This has been very informative. I feel like I'm forgetting a question that I'd like to ask, but we'll be in touch and follow up if that's the case. What do you hear from citizens in the county? When you get feedback, inquiries, questions, complaints, what are the kind of things you hear?
I think one of the number one things we hear is the surprise that people have when they find out they're in an unzoned area. And we hear this time and time and time again, especially in the Fairhope area, because if you pull open one of the maps, it is amazing the amount of unzoned area there is around Fairhope. And you have folks who just move into a new neighborhood and then they find out, you know, something unexpected is coming in next door. We had this happen recently with a cell tower that was built next to a neighborhood, and it was built in an unzoned area, and the neighborhood was within Fairhope's municipal limits, so
right,
they were zoned. But just outside is this unzoned area. So I think folks are surprised by that. So the more we can let citizens know their options in a situation like that, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Matthew, thank you so much. As interim planning director, do you anticipate or are you certainly striving to become the permanent planning director?
Well, you know, I'm just here to serve in whatever capacity I can help the county in, and I'm good with either way, but I'm enjoying serving in this role.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, especially for a last-minute notification of this interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Good to hear from you. Matthew Brown.